Blog Talk Radio.
All right. It's time to get the conversation started. Welcome, everyone. This is Passion Talk Live. I'm your host, Dr. Kim Duncan, your guide from passions to profits. This is the show where we have real conversations about love, life, and the things that matter. This is the first week in March, and I think this is the third week. Well, we've been coming, this is our fourth show, and this is the third week that we've started this radio program. And there's either snow falling or the threat of snow falling in the very near future. I don't know about you guys, but I am tired of winter. I am ready to be out in the sun and enjoying it. And but, you know, got a couple more weeks and we will survive. But let's have a conversation about nutrition. March is the National Nutrition Month, and I think if there's ever a conversation that we need to have a real talk about, it's nutrition. I'm sure most of you, or a lot of you, are aware of the obesity rates in this country, and I'm sure you know about the number of diseases that people fall prey to and fall victim to that are tied to our food choices. And you know, there's a big debate about organic foods, genetically modified foods. You know, it's just, there's just so much out there, so much information. And what I wanted to do is to have a start the month off with bringing someone on that can speak, have an expert opinion about this topic. And you know, this is real talk. I'm keeping it real. I'm a big boy. I've lived my entire life pretty much as far as I can remember as an overweight guy, and I, you know, as I enter into my 42nd year on this planet, I've made a commitment to getting healthy, making better food choices, and you know, this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. So I know there are a lot of people out there that, you know, may describe themselves as pleasantly plump, curvaceously curvy, big boned, you know, whatever, you know, cute little things you want to call yourself, thick at the waist, thick at the hip, you know, the term that nobody wants to really talk about is morbidly obese. And, you know, there are a lot of us out there, and it's directly tied to our food choices. So without further ado, I want to bring in our guest today. Her name is Cecilia Williams Nelson. She's a registered dietitian and nutritionalist for over 25 years. Currently, she's a consulting dietitian for several health establishments in New York City. In addition to providing medical nutrition therapy, her focus is on healthy aging, educating as many people as she can to reach their fullest potential in maintaining optimal health. She's been quoted, and I love this quote, "The human body has an outstanding capacity for self-repair and regeneration. It is our responsibility to be more proactive in ensuring that our lifestyle promotes longevity. Science and technology is creating a new paradigm of healthcare and new approaches to aging healthier. We want to be a part of that new approach." Let's talk about it. Let's welcome in Ms. Cecilia Williams. Cecilia, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for being on the show. This is, as I said, this is a very good quote. When I got your bio and I read this quote, I was like, wow, I love this quote. I meant to actually send it out on some of my social media channels, which I will. Cecilia, why don't we start by you kind of filling in your biography? Tell us, where you come from, how you got into this line of work, and what this line of work is really about.
Well, I've been in this field for quite some time, and I have moved out from organizations such as long-term care and hospitals, although I am still a consultant with them. But I decided that the community in which I live and travel probably could utilize my information in terms of being more proactive with their health. As I traveled throughout the city and worked in communities where health disparity is certainly an issue, I truly believe that we can turn our health deprivation around by looking at what we are putting into our bodies. This book that has been printed many years ago that talks about we are what you eat. And I somewhat turned that around to talk about we are what we don't eat. Unfortunately, we live in a microwave society, and we want to consume processed foods and foods that take very little time for prep, things that are in boxes and cans, which I'm not totally against, but I think we have taken that to the extreme, and we really need to begin to look at wholesome foods once again.
Okay, right. Okay. Now I want to go back to something you just said. You said health deprivation. What exactly does that mean, health deprivation? And how does that apply to, the African-American community, communities, minority communities, and just, the country as a whole?
More often than not, when you look at the disease process, many of us fall into the category of being overweight, obese, morbid obesity. So if you look at that from that particular aspect, we know genetics play a huge role, but often it's what we are consuming that is causing some of our health issues. And just making a few changes can turn that health issue that perhaps you are battling with will make a difference. So when I speak of deprivation, meaning that we are not offering the body the nutrients that it needs to do the daily tasks that perhaps we are engaged in. We have the tendency to overdo, overconsume, and under in terms of physical activity. That is basically under the radar. So putting those factors together certainly leads to some of the health conditions we as people are experiencing.
Okay. And when you see private clients or private patients, what are some of the major diseases or ailments that you see on a frequent basis?
I do get to see and educate and guide and coach private as well as groups. I do quite a bit with women, faith-based organizations, but often we see diabetes, cardiovascular, whether it's high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol. We certainly see a rise in not only hypertension or high blood pressure, but also in children. The diseases are beginning to impact the younger generation, actually children. We're actually seeing children with high blood pressure. We're observing diabetes, whether it's type 1 or 2, We realize type 1 is more genetic, but type 2, we're seeing type 2 in children. There, it's generally when you have high blood pressure, something else, maybe its partner, and generally that might be diabetes. We may be at higher risk for stroke, certainly. And so looking at what we eat, what we're putting into our bodies, trying to make those changes can make a difference in terms of decreasing the probabilities or changing or controlling our existent disease.
Okay. All right. And I want to dive a little bit deeper into that, particularly with the children, because I'm a father of a child, and I'm very concerned about, you know, his choices and choices that I make available to him. But before I do that, before we get into that, I must take a step back, and I apologize to the listening audience at the top of the show. I did not give out the phone number if they want to be a part of the show. And if you have questions, and I encourage you, if you do have questions, to call in and to be a part of the show and ask your question live. We have Ms. Williams for the hour, so and she's a wealth of knowledge. So please, if you have a question, give us a call. The number is area code 347-996-3160, 347-996-3160. And to ask your question, you can press 1. Okay, Cecilia, I want to get back to you. Now, how do we get to this point? I know as a nation, we haven't always been this unhealthy. And I know with the advent of technology, that plays a part in it. But it just seems like there are just new diseases that are coming out every day. There's new ailments. And it just seems like just no one knows exactly what to do. How do we get to this position, to this point?
Well, one, I can say it's culture. Okay. Culture plays a huge role. We realize how mom and dad used to cook 30, 40 years ago. Some of us have not been able to change that type of behavior. Certainly, technology has made a huge impact on how we eat, what we eat, the lack of time. Families have become quite busy, either working, escorting their children to different activities. So it does not leave enough time to really think about what you're going to consume, to prepare a menu beforehand, as opposed to trying to whip up something without thinking it through. And then a huge part of it, we have lost the drive for physical activity. We are no longer as active as we once were. And so that's a huge part of that factor. And it's been a slow process, but it has been a progressive process. And then all of a sudden, we looked around and realized things have gotten out of hand. The health, as I stated, the health disparities for a variety of reasons, not only due to the individual, but we realize that we are not as healthy as we thought we were or once upon a time. And then we're certainly projecting that image within the nucleus family itself. And the society has grown to such a size physically that it has become, and I'm quoting this, almost a norm. Seeing persons overweight and not being able to do something about it, because it takes work. It takes work to change a behavior. It's a process. And so people perhaps feel defeated or they may feel they cannot get to the goals they're trying to achieve. But all things are possible.
I hear
that. Yes.
I was going to say, I definitely agree that all things are possible. How do we begin? You said it's a process. How do we begin to change those behaviors? I know for using myself as a guinea pig here and putting myself on the altar. You know, it has to be something where it's a consistent thing, something I have to focus on every day, take steps every day and do different things and really change how I view my food choices.
Right. That's a good segue in. It becomes a lifestyle. In my travels and as I speak to different groups and interact with different groups, they probably would not hear me say diet. I always ask them, what are the first three letters in diet? And everyone gets it. It says die. We don't want you to die. So it's a lifestyle. Also, we removed, and I can speak just for me as a professional out here and working with the communities. When you speak of the word diet, I think that once persons achieve a certain goal, they think that they no longer need to continue what is happening or what they have already put in place. So diet, in my understanding, and it means short term.
Mm-hmm.
But if we want to change a behavior and maintain that behavior, it becomes a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're looking at, lifestyle.
Okay.
And so that also includes, if it becomes a lifestyle, we work with you and educate you to make those choices. And that include in some of the things that you enjoy that may not be something that you would like to consume on a daily basis, but you can incorporate it.
Okay, give me an example of that.
A perfect example. You might enjoy eating ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't tell you never eat ice cream. It's how much and the frequency. So we do want you to enjoy food because food is gratifying. It means countless things to different people. It's learning how to eat and to enjoy what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't discard some of those things that you have a passion for.
Mm-hmm.
We work with you to help you put them within a framework of menu planning.
Okay, and within that framework of the menu planning, how important is it to choose, say, organic foods over say, non-organic food? Because there's a big thing about organic foods, and when I go to my supermarket now, there's a whole section of organic foods. Are organic foods really better for you than non-organic? I'm not even talking about the processed foods, just about non-organic fruits and vegetables. Are they better for you or worse for you than organic ones?
Now, if you speak to 10 different registered dietitians, you would probably get at least 6 different statements in reference to that.
Okay.
I think it becomes a personal preference. I
mm-hmm.
do know that organic versus non-organic, the nutrients that we get from that particular food would be the same, but the major piece that organic has is insecticide and pesticide. They grow it more naturally as opposed to some of the fruits and vegetables that we see on any of our stand. But we also need to know where are we getting our organic foods from? Where are the sources of our organic foods originated from? And so I always encourage people, if that is something you enjoy doing, purchasing organic food, know the food source and try to go to the same produce stand or grocery store so you can become familiar with their organic products that they are marketing.
Okay. What do you say to people that today would like to eat healthier? One of the questions I got posted and people asked me to ask you, that they want to eat healthier, they want to choose organic, but it's more expensive. It's too expensive or more expensive than eating, say, you know, something out of a box or something that can be quick or out of a can. What do you say to those people who have that concern?
Well, it is a challenge for those persons who are financially challenged or their socioeconomic status, but you certainly can eat healthy on a budget. Me, for example, I still shop with coupons. I try to purchase products that are on sale, and they are wholesome products. We need to look at coupons and daily specials. It's not, I think we have somehow been less, I would say, creative in purchasing certain foods that are healthier for us. And I think you can stretch the dollar if you do and modify how you shop and when you shop and where you shop.
Mm-hmm.
And look for those daily coupons. They're still available.
I tell you, I try, when I go to the supermarket, I try to do coupon shopping. I try to buy, and I just cannot get, I don't know, maybe I don't have that, the coupon eye, but I just don't know, I just don't get it. I never get it. I see people, they go through the checkout, and they save 12, 15, 30 bucks. I don't save anything.
Some people are not engineered towards that, but those persons who are struggling and they want to eat healthier, these are some of the things that perhaps they need to put into place to get where they need to go in reference to that. Look at your grocery cart. What can you not buy? Is it something that you buy because your family likes it? Can you modify a few things? Maybe not buy foods that are already processed for you, because believe it or not, if you look at the unit price, often when the food is processed, or I call it instant, they cost a little more than foods that are grown. So in knowing where to go to do the shopping, I think there are times that we go to the local supermarket. The local supermarket, unfortunately, may not have the best prices, like the small bodegas in your community. Often you pay a little more when you go into those stores. But the larger supermarkets, you may be able to get some good buys.
And I know that if you can get to, if you're in an area that's fortunate to have farmers market or close to an actual farm.
Exactly.
You can get some really good deals there and some really good wholesome foods there.
Absolutely. That was going to be my next statement. And also, you can grow your own little garden. You may not be able to grow a variety of things in abundance, but a few fruits and vegetables you might be able to harvest. It takes some time to get good at it, I would imagine, but having your own garden right here in the city can be done.
Yeah, I never even thought about that. I have seen some plots, empty lots in the city that have been converted over to, like, I guess, community gardens. Yeah, that's absolutely, you're absolutely right about that. Okay.
That might be an avenue that a person may want to investigate and
right,
do their
right.
due diligence.
Yeah, right. And then, you know, when there's a will, there is a way. You will find a way to, if you really want to eat healthier, you'll make the choices. They may be, some of them may be hard choices, but you'll make those choices to benefit your health. What about, say, someone or anyone that's in an older category that they may not be as mobile. They may have, you know, certain ailments or whatever. What can they do outside of, you know, making better food choices to live a little bit, to have a healthier life?
Well, if they have someone that they could rely on, depend on to help them shop, that might be helpful to them.
Mm-hmm.
There are certainly quite a few senior programs that generally link with a dietitian. They could utilize the service there. Just finding out what type of program that's available to seniors in their community, that might be, it might be helpful to them.
Okay. So in your experience, there are a number of programs out there that assist seniors with this, with healthier choices and living a healthier life?
Oh, yeah. They're the Department for the Aged. I don't know all of their policies and procedures and how to connect, but they are available. Often they do help seniors. The senior programs that are strategically placed within the cities, I think each borough, they may be able to tap into the programs there and solicit information that will support them in shopping, food market shopping, and perhaps help them plan their menu. So there are a variety of ways that perhaps they can get support through the senior programs that's available.
Okay. All right. We're coming up to the bottom of the hour. We're a couple more minutes. Just want to squeeze in one more question real quick. But I do want to let everyone know that if you do have a question, you can reach us at 347-996-3160. If you have a question that you want to ask our guest, you can just press 1. What is the difference between, Cecilia, what is the difference between reduced fat, low fat, because I see that a lot when I'm doing my own shopping, and I never understood what are the difference between reduced fat, low fat, fat free, light. What are some of those? What are the differences, and which one is better for us, if there is one that's better?
Yeah, there are categories, and in general, based on the government guidelines, it has to meet it. So you might see a product that says reduce fat, but the fat, it might be reduced, but it still may not be low enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
So reduce fat is really not, instead of, I would say, instead of 15 grams, it might be 12. Well, that's a reduced, but 12 grams of fat still may be too high for the person that's looking for a low-fat product. So, again, there's guidelines. In order for it to be low-fat, it has to be 3 grams or less. So you have to look for the guidelines in reference to that. No-fat means less than 1% total fat is in that product. But reduced fat, you've got to exercise caution. Because it says reduced fat, it still may not be low enough for what you're trying to achieve.
Okay. Okay. And we're gonna pick that up because I wanna talk about setting how to set up some goals and what are some of the things that we can do to begin to change our lifestyle, because there are some huge challenges that some of us face. And we just want to know where to begin. You know, we already talked about food choices. I want to spend some time talking about exercise choices. And I want to also circle back to that point about childhood diseases and how our food choices are affecting our children. But right now we're at the bottom of the hour, and it is time for our Work Your Passion segment. So give us 60 seconds and we will be back. And now it's time for the Work Your Passion Update Minute for Tuesday, March 3rd. On today's show, we're talking about how to have a healthy body. But when it comes to having a healthy business, there are four things I think every business owner should do. Number one, have faith. Have faith in your abilities to manifest your destiny and what you really want out of life. Number two, stay focused. You have to determine what you really want out of life. Eliminate any distractions that's going to prevent you from getting there. Number three, discipline. Once you determine what you want out of life, you need to create habits and develop systems that's going to help you to stay focused on your goals. And number four, action. I often tell people, nothing happens unless you make it happen. So get up, get out, and go make it happen. For more ways to help you turn your passion into profits, visit my website at www.workyourpassion.net. Okay, we're back. I hope you guys enjoyed that that quick Work Your Passion update minute. Those are some tips, tricks, and awesome hacks to help you pursue your passion and turn your passion into profits. We're back with our guest, Cecilia Williams, registered dietitian and a nutritionist, and we're having a real conversation about, you know, getting healthier, making better food choices so that we can live a longer, better, higher quality of life. If you would like to be a part of the show, the area code to dial in is 347-996-3160. And when you're on hold, press 1 and you can be a part of the conversation. So Cecilia, we left off talking about exercising, better choices in food. What about exercising? How do we get started with movement and getting out there and moving our bodies?
For starters, you start off slow. Hopefully you're medically cleared, but what I've learned over the years, there's always something we can do. We have to get the body moving again. And it doesn't mean that you have to run 10 blocks. Walking, you can start with walking. You start walking, perhaps just one block. If you feel good, maybe the second day, a second block. The third day, you may not walk. The fourth day, let's see if you can do the three blocks. So start small. Climbing steps, that can be physical activity. But start somewhere, and you can start small and build upon that. Hopefully, as you begin and embark upon physical activity, hopefully you can build that activity up to 3 to 4 times a week, 30 minutes a day. And guess what? You don't have to do all 30 minutes in 30 minutes. You can break it up 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes midday, 10 minutes perhaps before you leave from work. So you can break that into 10-minute segments, 30 minutes the day. But it's moving, keeping the body moving. We often say as dietitians, body in motion stays in motion. body at rest will stay at rest. And so we have to begin to move the body. Many of us engage in fitness of facilities. That's fine. But so many of us have paid our hard-earned dollars and registered for the physical fitness program, and we are all excited and geared up to go, and perhaps we go maybe 2 weeks, a month, and then all of a sudden, the excitement dies down for a variety of reasons. So there are things within your community, within your home, within your apartment, wherever you are dwelling, you can do it right there in your home. I always encourage persons, if you buy low-fat milk in containers, fill those containers up and they become your weight. Or you put sand in the containers, that become weight. You can do a resistant exercise with perhaps the wall that's within your apartment or home. There's always something that you can do from home if you have not signed up with a physical fitness center. It doesn't mean you have to sign up with them. If you can, that's great, but you can do a lot of your physical activities at home. You may want to clean your house a little more often. That's physical activity. For some reason, we stop dancing. Dancing is physical activity. Start dancing with your children again, your significant other, your spouse. That's physical activity. So there's something we can always do on a daily basis to rev up our metabolism and get it going and getting the blood flowing from head to toe.
Very good.
In addition to physical activity, I find that when you're starting out to make those behavioral changes, you do need some guideline. I often talk about portion control. What is a portion? We may not have time to talk about that now, but portion control is a huge factor. We are eating.
Please get into that, because I did want to, that was on my notes to get to, so I'm glad you're bringing it up. Let's get into that, because that is a big factor in what we do and how we choose it. So please elaborate on portion control.
So portion control really leads me into understanding nutrition facts on our food labeling. Mm-hmm. Everything we pick up in the supermarket, if you turn that package around, whether it's a box, can, it has nutrition information. And it talks about what's a serving. It talks about what's in the food that we are consuming. And so when we bypass what's a serving, often we may be consuming more than what we anticipated. I find that if we begin to measure out our food, it doesn't mean that you have to always do that, but operating with some understanding, what does it mean to have a half cup of potatoes or a quarter cup of rice or one-third cup of pasta? So understanding what's a serving, it's a huge leap forward in changing the behavior. So the quantity of our food is quite beyond what the body really needs. Yes, we need nutrients, but perhaps not as many calories. Knowing that a portion is what we're looking for. Now, if you wind up doing two portions, fine, but you need to understand that you are consuming more than what you think. Perfect example, take a typical bagel. Mm-hmm. Not the mini bagels, just to give you an idea. But the bagels that most of us buy, it is so dense with nutrients, it's almost 2 to 2.5 servings of bread. Most people would look at it as a bagel.
Right.
But bagels are very dense in carbohydrates, which is what we call starch. No one measures their pasta. So looking at your plate size, I know you've heard this audience before, actually consuming food from a smaller plate. But if you look at my plate that's out on the market now, which is put out by the government information that you can actually get, you could actually call them or write them, and or you can click on to the website, myplate.gov, and you would get that information, and you can literally visualize what your meal plate should look like and how balanced and portion control it is. You would see that it's more fruits and vegetables. Half of that plate that we're used to seeing will be filled with fruits and vegetables. And then the other half between your starch and your protein. So portion control is important in understanding what is considered to be a portion. We have unfortunately no longer realize that the portions we once knew, it's not what we see today. They're quite larger and more dense in calories.
Do you have an opinion on, or I should say, I'm sure you do have an opinion, I should ask, what is your opinion on the different types of, eating styles or eating, I don't want to say fad diets, but some of them are fad diets, but, you know, there's the whole paleo revolution, with people eating organics and, you know, no carbs and things of that nature. There's the Atkins back in the days where they didn't like carbs, but then there's the low fat also, the section that goes low fat. So do you have, what's your opinion on these different types of eating styles or diets or whatever?
That's one of the reasons why we talked about a lifestyle behavior.
Okay.
And a fad is just what it means, in and out. No, when we talk about changing a behavior, in this case we're talking about eating, it becomes a lifestyle. I often would share with my audience, yes, half of the world is consuming low-fat products, but are we getting any smaller? And unfortunately, I would have to say no. We have this tendency to overdo it in one area and underdo it in another. So everything, in my professional opinion, is moderation. In moderation, making and looking at a balanced meal. And everyone would ask, well, what is a balanced meal? A balanced meal is, I would say, to eat from what we call the basic four or five food groups, which is your fruits and vegetables, your starch, your protein, your dairy group, but in moderation, because you want to make sure that not only you're getting the correct amount of calories, which we're overdoing in that area, but you still need your vitamins and minerals. It's important to get adequate vitamins and minerals. Often when we exclude foods, strong possibility that you will be excluding needed vitamins and minerals. So again, eating, consuming in moderation.
Okay. You brought up the vitamins and minerals. What do you feel about the supplements? I know there's a huge market for vitamin supplements, dietary supplements. Is that something that people is good for us, number one? And two, if it is good for us, what are some of the key vitamins we should be taking to have a better life, a healthier life?
Well, some of us perhaps might be overdoing it on the vitamins and mineral. First of all, you need to figure out why you're taking vitamins and minerals. Second of all, I think we need to have better understanding that not all vitamins and minerals are equal. You have to, I think, in my opinion, know what you're getting in a vitamin and mineral and why you're taking that vitamin or mineral. And it's not a substitution for food. It's a supplement. So if you know you're excluding a particular food group, that means you might be excluding certain vitamin, minerals, and nutrients. So it might be something you would like to investigate in terms of incorporating a vitamin. But you, again, I would implore you to look for vitamins that will enhance the body and not just get something that's a binder or filler and you're only getting perhaps a very small amount of the vitamin or mineral that you're seeking. So you have to look at or have some understanding of why you're taking that vitamin and is that vitamin or mineral is of quality that the body can utilize it and absorb it well.
Okay.
So I know that's a long response, but we are, I keep it real. Many of us are taking vitamins and minerals, but I'm not quite sure if we understand, like most things, there are quality vitamins and there are vitamins that are perhaps not as in quality in terms of doing what it said it would do.
I know a lot of people take vitamins because they feel run down. They don't have enough energy. And I know, like, I think it's vitamin B12 or something like that. And I know there's actually some liquid version of that vitamin. And what you're saying is that it's much better to get that energy boost from the food that you're probably not eating, but you're taking a vitamin because you think it'll give you that energy boost. Is that a fair assessment of what you're saying?
Yes, because in a vitamin, you're not going to get those other things that's naturally in a food. Perfect example. You're not going to get dietary fiber when you eat, when you take a vitamin supplement. But when you eat the fruit or vegetables, you will get that dietary fiber. So,
and why is that fiber important?
Oh, for regularity. Oh, it's feeling of fullness. The dietary fiber is very important. And unfortunately, we don't consume enough of it.
Okay. Real quick.
So you've got to educate yourself on vitamins and minerals before you jump out and purchase.
Gotcha. You said when you talked about dietary fiber being important, that made me think about another popular thing that's going on these days, and that's juicing. That's a very, very popular. I see that out there. There's a number of different programs that talk about juicing. What are your thoughts on juicing?
Well, that might be a good way of getting some of the vitamins and minerals that perhaps we're not getting because we're not consuming enough fruits and vegetables, which we are encouraged to consume 5 to 9 servings on a daily basis. Those of us who are not breakfast eaters, and we know that breakfast is an important meal of the day, just what it says, break fast, so we want us to be sharp and ready to go, so you need to put some energy in. Juicing may be right up that alley. That juicing can be quite helpful, but we still have to be cautious with the amount of fruits that we utilize in our juicing, especially for those who perhaps have problems with glucose intolerance. So we still have to be cognizant of that. But overall, there are some benefits in juicing.
Mm-hmm.
But I still encourage whole foods.
Okay. Now, I want to circle back to something we talked about earlier in the show that is very near and dear to my heart. You had mentioned that you're noticing, and you've been in this business, just for anyone who may not have heard, you've been doing this for 25 years, so you have a very long view of what's going on. And you stated earlier that you've noticed that there's a marked increase in childhood diseases and health-related complications, not just obesity, which we know is a problem for our youth. Tell us a little bit about that, and tell us some things that we can do to kind of turn that trend around, because we don't want that trend to continue, because that's just going to escalate and enhance the problem that we already have. So tell us your thoughts about that and how we can do something about it.
Well, just like the first lady of the country, Michelle Obama, she's always saying, get the kids moving. So one of the things I've noticed that they have implemented across, I think at least in New York State, if not, I know for sure in New York, where that we're teaching children at an early age, preschool, how to eat healthier. We have material that's age appropriate and fun to read and to feel and to touch, how to eat healthier. Encouraging our children to be physical activity. Being active is huge. Children need at least 1 hour of physical activities on a daily basis. And I'm not quite sure if our children are getting that. But starting at a young age, while you're able to encourage them and to get them to look at the importance, they're very flexible, they adapt very quickly, they learn, you know, children are sponges, they soak it up, and so it becomes part of their lifestyle, starting from an early age. So I know there are some programs available. I worked one of the programs where we talked about and worked with children and with staff and getting our kids to be more health conscious. We have programs for parents. So it's an important factor. If we're going to change what the environment is like now in terms of the health issues, we must start with our children while they are young. Not to say we can't work with adults, but their learning is on a different scale, and it takes a little longer. With children, as I stated, children, they are resourceful, and they can get things moving quickly, and it becomes a lifestyle for them. Working with the older population, meaning I shouldn't say older population, but working with teenagers and young adults, it's going to take some challenge, because their behavior, in terms of their eating behavior, has been somewhat shaped and framed already. But with
right.
the children, it has not totally been shaped and framed. And
so,
it's going to take a while to turn this around. But
yeah,
it can be done.
I believe that's to be the case. For the children that say, you know, children love junk food. And I shouldn't say children love junk food, but they do enjoy it, particularly because it's something that they're always given. They like candy. How would you suggest some of these parents try to start to wean their kids off of these bad food choices?
Well, educating the parent.
Okay.
That's first and foremost. And introducing healthier food choices. How they convey that information to their children, why mommy, daddy, guardian would like to change their behavior. It's not just theirs. It's going to be the entire family. It's like doing a new thing. These are some of the things that we're going to put into practice starting today. And you, I think setting some goals, short-term goals, long-term goals, and have the children to play a part in making those changes, giving them certain choices. This is not to say they can never have a cookie, but maybe cookies or cookie can be something as a treat, not on a given, on a routine basis, but a huge part of it, getting the child involved in making some of the decisions. And granted, in a small, I think children, when they realize they played a role in making those changes, I think they're more pliable to conform to those changes, as opposed to, because our children are very intelligent in the 21st century. So I think they should be part of what you're trying to do in making those changes. And you got to stick with it, mom and dad. Even if Mary or if Joe starts to cry a little, it got to be consistent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're coming up to the close of the show, believe it or not. It just seems like the show just flew by. Every show, I get so engrossed in it. But I want to give you an opportunity to tell people what they would expect when they come to a dietitian or a nutrition such as yourself. What do you do with them? How do you help them? And how they can get in contact with you if they're in the New York area and they would like to further a relationship and start a relationship with you?
Well, one of the things I try to do is solicit what are their goals. What do they would like to achieve? How can I be a support to them? I do give them the framework. I certainly share with them that it's a process and things do not change overnight. I'm almost like their cheerleader, their educator, their support system. So working with the individual in terms of what they would like to see, help them set their goals and support them in a time frame, help them to develop realistic goals. And again, if they don't achieve it the first time around, to be their cheerleader to say, we can still do this. Just be a support to them and getting them started. Of course, they will have concrete information to work with, material, resource material. But the main thing is to work with them as they try to achieve their goals.
Okay. And how would someone, if they would like to get in contact with you to possibly work with you, and they're in the New York City area, how would they do about that? What's the best way to get in contact with you?
Well, they certainly can call this number and leave a message. You can call 212-749-3507, and you can ask for Cecilia Williams. If I'm not available, you can always leave a message, and I will call you back as soon as possible. Again, that number is 212-749-3507.
Okay, well, that was perfect. I would encourage anyone that really think they need help and they would like to have a professional guide them and work with them and partner with them, that they should reach out to you. Cecilia, I want to thank you for so graciously donating your time and sharing your wisdom and your knowledge with us. It's been a pleasure to know you, to getting to know you and getting to know what you're all about.
Well, I certainly want to thank you. This has been a pleasure. I'm certainly honored when I'm being asked to share some knowledge on nutrition. I'm passionate about it, but I also would like to see a healthier community, and that's why I do what I do.
And we appreciate you for it. All right, thank you.
Thank you, and have a pleasant evening.
You do as well. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there it is. That's our show for this week. I really suggest and hope that you take this to heart and join me on my path to being more healthy. You get on your own path to get into to being healthier. And let's make sure that our kids are on a path of being healthy. That's our show for this week. I look forward to talking to you next week.